Hare Krishna, for great fortune to hear His Grace Padmanayan Prabhu addressing to all the Bhakti Shastri devotees on Unit 3 from Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 13 till 18. And this is day 1 of the class, starting on 6th of January 2014. Hare Krishna.
One information How many of you would like to go for this Ganga Sagar Mela? One, two, three, four, five. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Okay, if seven of you are planning to leave for Ganga Sagar Mela, then we need to do some adjustment with the schedule. So today is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Normally we have 5 days in a week, right? So if you don't mind, then I can continue till Saturday. Okay, then Sunday the 12th, right?
Yes.
12th, 13th, 14th, 15th. 4 days we can keep it off for your trip to Ganga Sagar. Then we'll resume on 16th. Is that all right with all of you?
Krishna Group told us that the bus is leaving on the 11th or something. I mean, maybe we would like to go, but if we have to go on our own means, it makes it a little more difficult for us. So I don't know about the others.
Not, we will not spend much time on this. So, you want to say something?
Yeah. So, Sridhar Govinda, who is the in charge of the transportation, he asked me to come and talk to him. I'll go today and see if they can make a better arrangement for you. If not, then you can try taking your own taxi.
Okay.
Really.
So this is, yeah. So the decision is, you have got like now 3 days to think of by Wednesday, today, tomorrow and the next. You have to come up with your solid plan whether you are going to Ganga Sagar or not. If you are going, then on Wednesday we will fix the schedule. Okay? That's it. Does anyone of you have this remote? I'm sorry, I had one, it's not working.
That gives you life.
Okay. Thank you. So, you have so far completed 12 chapters. First 6 chapters you have completed from chapter 1. What did you see in chapter 1? I'm sorry, I can put it off. What did you see in chapter 1?
I saw the battlefield of Kurukshetra was about to be enacted by two opposing factions. Sagaya was telling the last palace of the way of the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Dui was not there. There was having vision from Dui. And he was even going over there and he told the last palace. I don't know whether Krishna.
Okay, thank you. So what is the significance of chapter 1 in Bhagavad Gita? Normally from chapter 2, Nishkama Karma Yuga begins. So what is the significance of chapter 1 in Bhagavad Gita?
You can see what a difficult decision it is for Arjuna because he's got so many, he has a lot of good reasons not to fight. I mean, he's got real family members on the other side.
So what is the lesson for us? So according to Bhagavad Vidyabhushan, he says, when a person, he is compassionate and non-violent, he becomes a qualified person to receive knowledge about Atma. So this is the significance of chapter 1, where you can see Arjuna in form of giving his argument from Dharma Shastra and Artha Shastra. He is showing his quality as a compassionate person and also he is a non-violent person. So that's what qualifies him to become a recipient of the Atma Tattva. So that's how in second chapter Krishna start speaking about Atma Tattva. That means from chapter 2 up to 4, there is a, you know, very nice description about this Nishkam Karma Yuga, by which he will come to an understanding about the Atma, and which will help him to become an worshipper of Paramatma. So then, in chapter 5, the same Nishkam Karma Yuga is being explained, which has got Jnana within it. That's why Prabhupada named this chapter as Action in Krishna Consciousness. Then Ashtanga Yoga in chapter 6. This is how we see first 6 chapters, and in the middle 6 chapters we have seen the explanation of the bhakti. Then in last 6 chapters we will see the explanation of Jnana. Right? So this Jnana, what is the, okay, you have completed Nectar of Devotion. In Nectar of Devotion, what is the definition of your devotional service? Shilanam Bhakti Uttam. Okay. The point is here, Jnana Karma Di Anadritam. What is the meaning of this part? Yes, Narayan Guru.
This knowledge was bhakti was not covered by a philosophical search that would lead to the impersonal aspect, try to merge in the Brahman, to try to become one, and karma, which one is attached to the Buddha's activity. And he means all the other things like material desires and every other contamination.
Yeah. Thank you, Prabhupada. So here the point is, there are certain aspects of jnana which covers bhakti. Right? That's why in this definition you see Rupa Goswami is saying Anya Vilasita Sunyam, means no other desires, completely zero. But when it comes to jnana and karma, he is not saying jnana karmadi sunyam. Can you see the difference? He is saying jnana karmadi anabhritam. Means there are certain jnana which is helpful for the cultivation of bhakti. So this knowledge was actually we are going to discuss in this last 6 chapters of Bhagavad Gita, that will help us to open the door to bhakti. That's why this section is very, very important for us. Then, starting with chapter 13, what is the connection between previous section and chapter 13? Can somebody open up your book, chapter 12, text number 6 and 7? Can you read this part?
Those who worship me, giving up all their activities unto me, and being devoted to me without deviation, engaged in devotional service, and always meditating upon me, having fixed their minds upon me, O Son of Krishna, for them I am the swift deliverer from the ocean of birth and death.
Here Krishna, he tells, Tesam aham samuddhatta mrityu samsara sadara. So he is coming to this point while answering to Arjuna's question, where he asked in the first place, which are considered to be more perfect? Those who worship always with devotional service, or those who worship impersonal Brahman, the unmanifested. So then he is responding, those who actually worship me, as I am explaining to you, they are the most perfect. So then, to furthering the understanding about how Krishna is very dear to such kind of devotees, he is saying, Tesam aham samuddhatta. Those who actually worship me, Krishna, with undivided attention, I remain as the swift deliverer from the ocean of birth and death. So when Krishna is saying, I deliver them from the ocean of birth and death, how he is actually doing that? That's the question. So that, how he is going to do? He is going to do it by giving tattva jnana. So that knowledge is being explained starting with chapter 13. So you can see, somebody can read this part.
Krishna promised to save devotees from the path of birth and death. Tesham aham samudrata mukti samsara sagara. Chapter 12, verse 7. Chapters 13 to 18 fulfill this promise by supplying the philosophical knowledge necessary to extricate oneself from material entanglement.
That means, if we understand this knowledge, which is being explained from chapter 13 through 18, 17 practically speaking, that will help us to free ourselves from the entanglement of this material existence. So then, in the beginning, this is the overview of this chapter, chapter 1 through 7, kshatrajna description is there, then process of knowledge, from 8 to 12, then 13 to 19, the object of knowledge, jnana, then how the prakriti purusha they combine, and then from 27 to 35, the reason of knowledge. At least you can chant these two verses together in the beginning. Arjuna vacha prakritim purusham chaiva kshetram kshetrajñameva cha etadvedi tum icchami jnanam jnayam cha keshava. Sri Bhagavan vacha idam shariram kaunteya kshetram vidya vidiyate etadjo vyatitam prahu. Yes.
Arjuna said, O my dear Krishna, I wish to know about Prakriti, nature, Purusha, the enjoyer, and the field and the knower of the field, and of knowledge and the object of knowledge. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, this body, O son of Kunti, is called the field, and one who knows this body is called the knower of the field.
Okay. So in this section, Krishna is asking six questions. What are those six questions? He is asking about Prakriti. What is Prakriti? That is called nature. And what is Purusha? Who is Purusha? The enjoyer. Then kshetra, the field of activity, kshetrajna, knower of the field of activities. Then jnanam, what is the knowledge that helps one to become free from the entanglement of this material existence? Jnanam, the object of knowledge. So in responding to Arjuna, immediately Krishna, he says, idam sarira kaunteya kshetram itya vidhiyate. So one question was, what is kshetra? So idam sariram, this body is kshetra. This Sanskrit word kshetra means field, right? Okay. What does a farmer do in the field? Cultivation means he grows crops. That means he gets something, right? Similarly, when we say this body is a field, the living entity, he is actually doing the cultivation. So he gets enjoyment and suffering in course of his cultivation. So in explaining details to this concept, Srila Prabhupada, he is writing in his purport, I'm sorry, to this text number 3, just read the translation. Yes, somebody can read this translation.
You should understand that I am also the knower in all bodies. And to understand this body as knower is not knowledge. That is my opinion.
That is my opinion. That means, apart from the individual body, in the spirit soul knows about the field of activities, there is super soul. Krishna is telling that you should understand that I am also. That means I is situated in the heart of every living entity as super soul, also know the field of activities, what is going on in everybody. Okay. So, would anyone like to share with us how Srila Prabhupada is explaining this fact in his purport? He is giving a beautiful analogy to explain this fact. Yes?
Yes, no, Narayan Prabhu.
It says here that when we compare the Supreme Personality of Godhead to a king, actually, who knows not only his palace, but all the properties possessed by each individual citizen. Because a citizen, he knows everything about his own patch of land, his own house, etc. But the king, he knows his own place and also every other place, cultivation, every house, every citizen, he has full knowledge.
Very good. Yes. The individual soul may know what is happening with his body, but he does not know what is happening with somebody who is sitting next to him. Right. If I am feeling a pain in my neck, you will not know whether I am feeling pain on my neck or not. But the super soul who is sitting in the heart of every individual, he understands what is happening with everybody. So that's how Srila Prabhupada is explaining with this analogy, to confirm that super soul, he understands what is happening in all bodies. And also Prabhupada, he gave another analogy to explain this fact, but to give us a better understanding about the interaction. Even though this Prakriti and Purusha, they mix together, what is their situation in the body? He is giving another analogy in his purport. Yes? You are telling?
No, I can't read the
page.
Okay.
Yes, yes, yes. Go ahead. Yeah, that one.
Well, I don't know which one refers to what, but he says painter painting.
Okay. Somebody can read that part to us? Yes, probably.
One has to understand the position of Prakriti, nature, Purusha, the enjoyer of nature, and Ishvara, the knower who dominates or controls nature and the individual soul. One should not confuse the three in their different capacities. One should not confuse the painter, the painting, and the ether.
Okay. So that means painter is there, painting is there, easel is there. Here the philosophical explanation is, even though these three objects are there and they are sometimes mixing with each other, but see, they are separate entities. They do not mix. This is the point. The jiva is there, Prakriti is there, and the Supreme Lord who is helping the jiva to come in contact with the Prakriti to satisfy his desire, it doesn't mean that one day after liberation, this jiva, he becomes one with the spirit soul, supreme spirit soul. No. They still maintain their individual existence. This is the understanding. So, the jiva, Prakriti and Purusha, even though they mix with each other, they play their respective roles, but still, they are all individuals. Okay. And we will see, this will be very nice explained in the subsequent verses.
Yeah, Baldi Vidya Hosan, he is explaining the same thing what Prabhupada has said. Then Krishna says, this Kshetrajna knowledge is being described by different rishis. Rishibhi Bahudha Gitam Chandavir Vividhai Prathak Brahma Sutra Padai Kaischa Padai Chaiva Hetumadhir Vinishchitai. That knowledge of field of activities and of the knower of activities is described by various sages in various Vedic writings. It is especially presented in Vedanta Sutra with all reasoning as to cause and effect. It means, even though the different rishis, they explain about the knowledge of Kshetra and Kshetrajna, but the conclusive truth is presented in Vedanta Sutra. That means, there is a story. One time three people, they went to see an elephant. They were actually blind people. And one of them, he came and he touched the body of the elephant. And he came to the conclusion that, oh, elephant means just a wow. Wow. Yeah, wow. Okay. And the second person, he came and he touched the leg of the elephant and he was thinking, elephant means this is just like a pillar. So third person, he came and he touched the trunk and said, oh, it's like a heavy, you know, very heavy rope. Is elephant a wall or a pillar or a rope? No. But they have their perception. Our sensory perceptions are not perfect. So whatever knowledge we get by using our senses, it still remains imperfect. But if we want to achieve the conclusive Siddhanta, then we have to refer to the Vedanta Sutra in terms of spiritual understanding. This is what it is meaning. Brahma Sutra Padaischaiva Hetumadhir Vinishchitai. Vedanta Sutra with all reasoning. Vedanta Sutra is giving the conclusive Siddhanta. And Srila Prabhupada, in his purport, he is giving a very nice explanation about how Krishna is actually giving us this knowledge. Yes. Maybe somebody can read this part to us.
The Supreme Personality of God, Krishna, is the highest authority in explaining His knowledge. Still, as a matter of course, learned scholars and standard authorities always give evidence from previous authorities. Krishna is explaining His most controversial point regarding the duality and non-duality of the soul and the super soul, referring to a scripture, the Vedanta, which is accepted as authority.
So that is the point. Even though
there are different explanations given by different rishis, we should not be bewildered by seeing those explanations. Rather, we should pay close attention to how it is being explained in Vedanta Sutra. So, Prabhupada is explaining this realization about the Supreme Absolute Truth by referring to the understanding of the Vedanta Sutra, and he is giving, you know, five different points in his purport. Do you know what are those five points Prabhupada is referring to about the understanding of the Absolute Truth? One minute, you have to raise your hand and I know you have studied the book before. One minute. I don't know. Is it clear? Srila Prabhupada is explaining in his purport about the understanding of the Absolute Truth. And he is saying about he is giving five ways how the Absolute Truth is
Understood. Yes, Prabhuji.
Is the different stages of developing, like in food, is it anamaya?
Go ahead.
And then in thinking?
Yeah. Somebody else would like to help me? Yes, Prabhuji?
Thinking.
Namaya.
Huh? Namaya Jnanamaya.
Annamaya?
Jnanamaya.
Thank you. Go sequence here.
Annamaya, Pranamaya.
Annamaya, Pranamaya.
Vijayanamaya.
Jnanamaya.
Annamaya.
Okay. So, what is Annamaya explanation Prabhupada is referring to? Yes,
Prabhupada. Like, sometimes you say, you know, you become thankful for having food.
Yes.
Just you appreciate, like, this food came from God, like that.
Very good. Thank you. That's it. Food for life.
That is another one.
Yeah. So, the understanding of Brahman is centered around food. That is Annamaya. Then Pranamaya.
Living
symptoms. And when living symptoms extend up to the point of thinking, feeling and willing, that is called
Jnanamaya.
What is Vijnanamaya?
Brahma
realization. See, this is most of Prabhupada's work, how Prabhupada is explaining. Yes, Prabhuji?
One distinguishes himself from the body and mind.
Body and mind.
But seeing himself separate.
Very good. That means, at that stage, he has realized Yatmatattva. He understands, I am not this body, I am separate from this body. I am also separate from my material mind. He has the power to distinguish the spirit soul from the body. Okay, then, finally, Anandamaya means all these four aspects of the Supreme Absolute Truth, that means realizing the Paramatma, the Super Soul. Okay, so these are...
I just had a question on that aspect of the living entity, mind and life symptoms are distinguished from the living entity himself.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a question in this regard, how one can distinguish the life symptoms without consciousness. Is the symptom of the soul, how can I distinguish myself from that?
Yeah. Here, living symptoms means mentality. We'll see, according to Siddhar Swami, he says, like, Sanghata Chetana. You can see in text number 6, right? 6, 7, yeah. See, Chetana, the Prabhupada is explaining as living symptoms. Okay, that means the mentality. We will discuss about that, how, what are the different functions of the mind, it comes in that category. So then, in text number 6 and 7, the description of the field is given, swarupa of the field. What is the swarupa of the field? How this body is constituted? What are the elements in the body?
Five
gross elements. go ahead, tell me.
Three such elements, mind, intelligence, ego.
Yeah. Please, tell us.
Five knowledge
acquiring senses.
Five
working senses. Ten.
Five
objects of the senses, 15, then?
Mind.
Okay, mind. Intelligence. False ego.
Unmanifested. Five
objects. And five great elements. What are those five great elements? You have seen in which chapter? See, we are coming to the end of Bhagavad Gita now. What you have studied already, I want to know whether you have understood it correctly or not. So what are those five elements you have studied in Bhagavad Gita before? In which chapter?
Seven.
Chapter 7. Okay, what are those?
Umira,
Punalabai. Very good. Come on, man. Because you are sick. Okay, so this is how the body is constituted. So now here one, another aspect is being described in text number 7. It says, Ichha Dvesha Sukham Dukham Sanghata Chetana Vritti. Okay, so these are mainly explaining the products of mind. Ichha Dvesha Sukham Dukham. So these are the products of the mind. According to Upanishad, actually there are 10 different products of mind. We will just bring to attention. Actually, we are discussing about the knowledge. When we have this knowledge, how this mind is functioning, what are its products, then it becomes easy for us to kind of understand where I am, what actually I am doing. Am I listening to the product of my material mind, or I am using my intelligence? So you will have a correct understanding about distinguishing between what is spirit and what is matter. What is related to spiritual subject matter and what is related to material subject matter. So here in Shruti, in Upanishad, it explains that there are 10 products. Faith means Shraddha, right? Faith means Shraddha. Shraddha or Shraddha. Then Vritti. Advritti. Then Veer 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 and Veer. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So Kama, Kama means be there. Okay? Sankalpa means determination. Sankalpa means determination. Okay? Then vichikitta means uncertainty. Means sandeha. Sometimes this vichikitsa is also explained as sandeha, uncertainty. Okay? Then, shraddha means faith. Ashraddha means lack of faith. Vritti means perseverance. Advritti, or means negation, means lack of perseverance. Vritti means humility. Sorry, V. Yeah. V. Sorry, Gri. Gri means humility. V. Then V means intelligence. And V means fear, God. So these are Sanskrit names and this is English name. Kam, desire. You should understand, these are symbols of material mind. You should add this part here. Material mind. Means when the living entity is conditioned in this material world, his mind tends to produce all these desires. And you can judge yourself where you are, what is happening, whether this is correct or not. So,
what is after you?
Intelligence. That is V, means buddhi, intelligence. And V means
fear.
Bhaya, fear.
So how is humility and intelligence?
Okay, here, actually, if you say this, V means lajja. Lajja means, you can say, you know, the shyness also sometimes. It is explained. Some of them they explain it as also humility. Humbleness, you can say. You know, sometimes, you know,
what to do, you know, you can do what can I do for you, what can I do for you.
Like when he's really a humble fellow. But when you ask him to do something, you say, oh no. You know, this is the time when actually I, you know, change my rounds. You don't understand, you've been staying with me for so many days. Okay, then you know, Prabhuji, you know, can you come with me? You know, Guru Maharaj told, you should really go for communication because this is month of December, month of time. Well, Prabhuji, I know nutrition is very important, but at the same time, Guru Maharaj also told me some other thing to do. Let me think about it. Okay. So, one time, you know, one devotee, actually a group of devotees that came to Prabhupada. This Prabhupada, you know, whatever you say, we will follow. But don't ask us to follow this temple project. This division, temple project are nonsense. You don't want to follow it. But we will follow you. Then Prabhupada says, oh, you want to follow me, right? Okay, you want to follow me, and when I am telling you to follow my, you know, leader, Samputahidan and GVT, you don't know how to follow. That means you are cheating me. Where is your sadhguru? Where is your humbleness? So he is in one way, he is saying that I am a surrender, but he doesn't want to follow. That is the lack of humility. Yeah. So then, Krishna goes on speaking about the 20 items of knowledge from text number 8 to 12. These 20 items of knowledge are like this. Just you can read this meaning. Definitely Sri Prabhupada is explaining in the purport, but I have just put it in the slide. Yes? Amanitva means?
Humility, modesty, first qualification for receiving knowledge.
Okay. Adambitva means? Ahimsa. Non-violence. Okay. Then? Shanti. Tolerance of an insult. Arjavam. Read the last part. Straightforwardness, even to the We'll see what does that mean. Acharya Upasanam.
You refer to these as objects of knowledge, is that correct?
Which one?
Did you refer to these as objects of knowledge?
No, no, no.
No, no. Okay.
This is the process of knowledge.
Okay,
items of knowledge.
Okay. I'm a little confused between what, because Krishna has already explained what is knowledge.
We'll come to text number 19, then if you are not clear, then we'll talk about it. Okay? Just keep it on hold for a while. Okay. So, this is Acharya Pasanam. Then, the next comes Saucham. Okay. Sthairyam. Steadiness for what? You can be steady for achieving some material objects. Yeah, there are so many people, they are very determined. Then Atma Vinigraha. Just read this. One after another. Yes? Indriyarthe Subairagyam. Okay.
Giving up the false identification with the body.
Okay. Then? Yes? Asakti.
Asakti. Non-attachment with children, wife, home, etc.
Abhay?
Anamish. Lack of absorption, happiness and distress, even when
Michael?
Present.
Nityam chasamajitatvam ishtanisto bhaktisyu. To be at all times without joy of oppression, on a pain and favorable or unfavorable items.
Mahitya ananya yogena bhaktis avya vicharana. Cultivating devotion to me by exclusive meditation. The rikta desha saving from being inclined to live in absolute life.
Okay. Then? He cannot read. Can you read, Prabhuji? Aratir Janasang Sadi. Non-attachment toward assembly of materialistic people. Then Adhyatma Jnana Nityattam. Yes. Okay. Then Tattva Jnana Sadarsanam. Means?
Reverence in the heart of the meaning of faithfulness and faith.
Okay. So you have read this part. Now we have some quiz for you. Okay? It's very simple. Huh?
Sensual mind. Which one is the sensual mind? Means we explain 20 items, out of these 20 items, which item is actually the sensual mind? Yes?
Acharya Pasanam.
He told you, I think, Papa is saying in one of his lectures, Maita, Ananya Jogena, Bhakti of the Vicharini. Anyone who is performing exclusive devotion to Krishna, that is the central point. Okay. Why that is central point? Why that is central point?
Because by devotion,
yes.
Very good. That's the only way to get Krishna. Because we have seen in the 12th chapter in the beginning when Arjuna is asking which one is more perfect. Oh my dear Krishna, you have already explained to me about the realization of Atma. That means that as good as trying to approach the Supreme through an impersonal way, right?
Is there any description about Atma, like, you know, Atma looks like this, there is a kind of, you know, picture of Atma?
No.
No. What does the description about Atma picture give? Kesagra satabhagasya satadha kalpitasya cha. One then, how can part of the keep of a hair? So how can you understand? How can you actually visualize? How can you meditate upon the soul? So, but that's the only way to approach him. You know Krishna? The description about Krishna, Krishna looks like this, you know, he wears a little feather, he is a nice blue boy, he is dressed on suit, he has so many, you know, boyfriends in Vrindavan, he is also hiding his house. So, like, you know, there are so many things are there about Krishna. So you can get very easily attracted to him and you can serve him. And when you serve him, then you come closer to him. Yes, that's the essential point. Okay, so then, which item is essential for everyone? Very good. Why? Nityananda Ram. No, your name, Prabhuji?
Yes.
Nityananda Ram, yes. So, how we can elaborate on this point that yes, this humility is most essential for everyone. Would you like to elaborate on this point for us?
A little bit.
Yes.
Prabhupada once said that we should approach this like small children, which means in humility, we're willing to accept the knowledge. We're not willing to, like, think otherwise from the knowledge.
Okay. Okay, there are some other hands here, so we want to add on to it.
What are the symptoms of surrender?
On the symptoms of surrender. Thank you, very good. Yes, this is what Prabhupada is also saying. Yes?
Mahaprabhu said, to not be solicitous.
Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, this is our Siddha Pranali. Have you heard of this term called Siddha Pranali? Siddha means perfection. The Pranali, that path which brings perfection to the practitioner is called Siddha Pranali. That means if somebody wants to attain perfection in the execution of his spiritual activities, it has to become yes, very essential for everyone. Since we all are trying to become a follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by following Srila Prabhupada. So if we don't have this quality of being humble, then there is no hope. Okay. Which one?
Sorry.
Yes? Bit tricky, right?
Approaching a mode of experience must
by humility again.
Yes, unless you are humble, you cannot approach a bona fide spiritual master. Am I correct? Because you can see, there are so many people in this world today who also come to our society and they listen to, you know, elevated souls. But still, because they are not humble, they are not accepting them. So this is the first one. For receiving knowledge, humility is very important. Okay, thank you. Then we'll discuss about the object of knowledge. Okay, before we move forward, so what did we discuss so far? Let us do a recap. We have discussed two parts. What is that? What is field? We have discussed about this field, right? Field of activities and the knowledge. Okay, now we are going to discuss about the object of knowledge. Okay.
Sorry if I don't have this, you know. Yeah, it's a big problem.
Read this part, this object of knowledge.
Just translation. Somebody can read to this slide.
I shall now explain the noble, knowing which you will take the eternal. Brahman, the spirit, beginningless and subordinate to me, lies beyond the cause and effect of this material world.
Gyan. Gyan means object of knowledge. I shall now explain the knowable, knowing which you will taste the eternal Brahman, the spirit, beginningless and subordinate to me, lies beyond the cause and effect of this material world. Okay. Who is being referred to in this text as the object of knowledge? Brahman, okay, what is that? Who is that Brahman? What do you know about Brahman? When you say Brahman, what do you know Brahman? Who are called as Brahman?
Prakriti,
Jiva,
Ishvara.
They all are called as Brahman. But in this day, who is being referred to as Brahman?
Living entity.
Yes, the Jiva, spirit soul. Here we are not talking about Paramatma. We are talking about the spirit soul. We have to understand. Then from text number 14 to 18, we will be talking about Paramatma, the super soul. Okay. Just read this translation from text number 14 through 18, one after another. Prabhuji, maybe you can read from there, yeah.
Which is
text number 14 through 18.
Every call or
no, you read 14, then next 15, 17, 18.
Everywhere of his hands and legs, his eyes, head and faces, and he has ears everywhere. In this way, the super soul exists, pervading everything.
Then, next Prabhuji.
Material senses.
Right. One time, actually, one devotee, he came to,
actually he was traveling from Nairobi to India. And on the way he stopped in, I think, Kuwait. Then, you know, he just saw me from India. So he was chanting on the airport. And as he was chanting, then one person, an officer from the airport, he approached him and started saying, "Hey Swamiji, I understand you are from India, right?" And he said, "Yes, I am from India. Oh, what are you doing here?" "So I am chanting God's name. I believe if people worship stone, and you stone is God." Then he said, "No, we worship God in stone, not we worship stone as God." I said, "Oh, interesting. You worship God in stone. Well, would you like to come to my office? I want to, you know, discuss something more." Then this Swamiji is thinking, "Well, this person, you know, I am in this Muslim country, he is an Arab. If I am going to go to his office and I want to say something, I don't know what is his response will be, what should do?" Then he said, "Well, you know, since he's asking, what he will do to me, let me go." With enough of courage, he went into the office. Then they started, you know, open up a discussion. But then immediately, bell rang for the prayer time. So then, along with that officer, some other officers, they joined together in the same office and they started chanting their namaz. Like Muslim people, they read namaz. So then the Swami is sitting there and chanting on his bed. Then, after some time, they all finished reading their namaz. Then this time, Swamiji opened up a discussion with them. He asked them the question. He said, "My dear sir, oh, you are praying, right, to Allah?" He said, "Yeah, we are praying to Allah." "So you are praying to Allah, that means Allah can hear your prayer?" "Of course. If he cannot hear our prayer, where are we praying to him?" "Oh, yes. Yes, that means he can hear." "Oh, if Allah can hear, that means Allah can see, right?" He said, "Yeah, Allah can see." Then Swamiji started explaining, "You know, our Shastra, he says, your Allah also has a very nice, beautiful, glorious complexion, played with his words." He went on explaining about the beautiful feature of Krishna. Then finally this person, he said, "Oh, wow, well, Allah is so nice, it's so easy to believe, he has also a form." He said, "Of course, Allah has a form." So at that time, they rang for the Swamiji's flight to India. So he was on a kind of, you know, transit.
So then, immediately the person, you know, went into the shop, then he bought one watch for him. Then he said, "Swamiji, I found you don't have a watch. So please, why don't you take this as a gift? Huh? And, you know, you can use it for your prayer time. You can see where you're going to be prayer." So the point is, see, these people who are following certain paths, they do not have a complete understanding. Because they are following one part of some tradition which is actually hiding the understanding of the Supreme Absolute Truth. That's why when we Vaishnavas, we go, we have clear understanding. When it says Sargandhya Gunavatam, Sargandhya Vikarjitam, it doesn't mean that he doesn't have senses. Because he was saying, I could explain to him by referring to Brahma Samhita verse. Angani Jastendriya, Angani?
Yes, yes.
Jastendriya Vrittimati. Any of these senses can perform the activities of any other senses. But I didn't tell him like that because he is not qualified to understand this philosophy. So similarly, Vaishnava, they are very intelligent and they know how to present our philosophy, when and to what degree. So here, when it says, Sarvandriya Vimarjitam, yes, he is without material qualities. Then if you go to text number 16 and 17, this super soul is being described as like, you know, sky, that means ether, right, and sun. Can you see it? In text number 16, this super soul is being described as ether. Who doesn't understand? Ether is present
everywhere,
right? Okay. In this terminal, it's being explained. Okay. Then, Sri Prabhupada is also giving the explanation from Brahma Sangita how, even though he is situated in his Goloka, but still he can accept the offering that you are offering him. Durastham Chantiketatar. Then in text number 17, Abhivaktam Chabhutesu Vivakta Vimachasthitam. Even though the super soul is undivided, still it appears to be divided among all beings. How Prabhupada explaining this point? Yes, he is not divided, but it appears to be divided, right? Because he is in your heart, in my heart, in everybody's heart. That means he is divided. Right? How Prabhupada is explaining this analogy, this point? You have to raise your hand, man. Otherwise, I don't know. Who to ask? Who has not spoken yet? Yes, please, tell me. Who can tell me? Who can explain? You see, you should understand this concept. Yes, when you go for preaching, people will catch you. They say, you know, yeah, he is divided, you know, he is present everywhere. He is in your heart, in my heart, your heart, everybody's heart, so, no. He is divided. Yes.
The moon is one. Abhivaktam. And there is so many waters on the earth. And you can see the reflection of the moon each, on each of these waters. When he is divided.
So Prabhuji is giving a very nice explanation, that is reflection. That means, okay, my dear sir, that means the soul which we see, this first soul, and on his example, reflected. Or maybe soul is also a reflection of his spirit soul. When there is no reflection, then I can see that is already there, right? That means the reflection is merged with the original object. That means when you leave the body, then you can go and merge with him. I can conclude like this. That.
So you want a better now?
Yes, I want better now. Anyway, Srila Prabhupada is explaining about with this sun analogy. Right? Wherever you go, maybe you can still find sun is on your head. Everybody is thinking sun is on my head. So this reflection theory, there are some people who believe on this reflection theory. They say that the spirit soul is also a reflection of the Paramatma. And when you are freed from this body, this material entanglement, then you go and merge with him. But here the reflection means it was okay. This soul, which is very subtle. Even if you cannot even see with your eyes, you cannot perceive this soul's presence with any of these material senses. Okay, so this is very subtle. Let us take another example. This dik. Dik means direction or consciousness. These are also subtle objects. Have you ever seen consciousness reflected on glass? Can you show me? Can you show me this direction reflected on somewhere? No. So that means if some subtle object on this earthly planet cannot be reflected, then how can we expect the soul, which is on the spiritual plane and also very subtle, be reflected? This is not the correct understanding, this is not the reflection theory. Does it make sense? Yes, okay. And then the super soul, who is present in everybody's head, like sun present, it's like he, that is his expansion, his personal expansion. And what is his duty, what he is actually doing by being present in everybody's head, or in sitting in everybody's heart, what he is doing? He is watching. Upadrashta Anumanta. Right? He is permitted and overseer. He is watching what actually you are doing. Then he is going to direct the Prakriti. Hey, this jiva has performed such and such activity, so he needs such and such residential quarters. So you please prepare a residential quarter fitting to his desire. Then one day you will find you are put into that quarter to enjoy what you want to do. Like, you know, I have been to business, I have seen people who are working, you know, like in this Arab, in Saudi, they are very restricted. And there is no wine shop, there is no, you know, this other four activities going on because they are very restricted. And every weekend you find hundreds and thousands of cars are being driven to Bali because just be kind of, you know, often there. You can go and you can do whatever you want. So he is watching everything. Oh, your king is saying you do not do this, but I can see what you are doing at the end of every week. If you go there, oh, you want to be my guest? Okay, my dear Prakriti, you prepare a nice quarter for him. So the next time he will enjoy as much as he wants. So this is what he is doing. So devotees understand this principle, and they are very strict in following this four regulatory principles without breaking. So that they understand he is watching everything. Even if I commit something, I can think nobody is here, right? Sometimes
I lock myself in the room,
you know, I am enjoying my wine. What's the problem? Nobody. Okay. You know. After all, I am conditioned to man. You know, I am just coming out from my conditioned nature. Oh, once in a while, oh, slowly I will get rid of it. But he is watching. You are hiding, drinking the wine. Anyway, so when the super soul is being explained as
the ether and sun, what actually being explained to us? That means the super soul has got different activities. That is how it is being explained like this. Not that he reflected or he loses his identity because he is distributed everywhere. No, it is not like that. This gives us the understanding about the multifarious function of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as super soul. This is the understanding. Okay.
Yes, probably.
Is there actually many super souls?
Many super souls.
No, they're all the same, obviously.
Yeah.
Like, so each one has its own body.
And each soul?
Each soul has its own space. Super soul.
No, don't mix super soul with this individual spirit soul.
Obviously they're different.
Yes.
I mean,
thinking
of the example of the bird.
Yeah. Yes.
They're
sitting together. Definitely, of course, he's there. He's accompanying this spirit soul. Yeah. That's correct. That's understanding. Yes, probably.
In preaching or doing programs, when asked a question about Krishna is divided, the super soul is divided. It's every one individual. What other preaching argument can we use besides the analogy of the sun? What else is good to say to common people so they understand?
Okay, can you just ask me once again? Being an outsider, just ask some question like, what do you think they are?
Well, it appears that the soul is divided equally among everyone.
Yes.
And instead of giving the answer of the analogy of the sun, what else can we say besides that?
Any thoughts, my dear sir? Yes.
There is another analogy, king and his superman.
King and his department, yes.
King is present in his palace, but his action is going on in every moment.
Very good. Okay. Something. Yes.
In the second chapter, in this Nainam Chintanti Shastra, he soul can never be cut to pieces by any weapon. That explains that this confirms the fact that the super soul or God, because the soul cannot be cut, divided soul, God has not become divided in many souls.
Yeah. Very good. This is nice explanation. Yeah, spirit soul cannot be cut into pieces. Definitely it's not divided. So how can you say it's divided? So like that, and also this is also a nice analogy. King is present there at the same time. So his energy is present in every department of his country. Yes. Yes.
I'm not sure, but the analogy with the original candle would light in many other candles as well. So Krishna is like the original candle.
That is, that analogy is being given to explain about the power of the Lord. That even though all the expansions who are coming from Krishna possess the same energy or same capacity, they have the same capacity to do whatever Krishna can do, but still he is original one. Everybody is coming from him. That is the analogy.
Krishna, I have a question now about verses 14 to 18, okay, so Prabhupada starts with chapter 14, it says the literally super soul exists pervading everything, but if you look at the word-to-word translation, the super soul is not there, it would almost seem like he's referring to Brahma in text 13. Same thing with 15, there's no mention of the word super soul, so I'm just wondering, like,
this is how it is being explained by the others, like our commentators. You see, you read this text number 14 purport, as the sun exists diffusing its unlimited rays, so does the super soul. Can you see it, Prabhuji?
Mm-hmm.
In the beginning?
Yeah.
Or Supreme Personality of Godhead, he exists in heat. This heat is big heat, means super soul.
Mm-hmm.
Understand? Okay, and then in 15 also, in the translation itself, Srila Prabhupada is saying, the super soul is the original source of all senses. So these verses are referring to the existence of the super soul. Okay. So then, if we go to 19, then Krishna explains, इति क्षेत्रं तथा ज्ञानं ज्ञेयं चक्तुं सनातनः मद्भक्त तत् विज्ञाय मद्भक्त एतत् विज्ञाय मद्भावाय उपपद्यते. Read the translation.
But the fields of activities, body, knowledge and knowable have been summarily described by me. Only my devotees can understand this
story
and thus attain to my nature.
Okay. So that means here where it is said, when the living entity, he acquires the complete knowledge about the body, that means the field of activity, and he has the knowledge by the strength of which he can free himself from the entanglement of this material existence. And knowable means there are two knowables, the spirit soul and the supreme soul. Then he can understand how he can enter into my nature, and he can actually enter into my nature. According to Baldev Vidya Bhushan, anyone, any devotee, Krishna is saying, mad bhakta etad vijnayo. He is not saying, karmi etad vijnayo, jnani etad vijnayo, or yogi etad vijnayo. He is saying, mad bhakta etad vijnayo. Means the devotee of the Lord, he understands the position of the super soul and how he is involved in every aspect in this world, and accordingly he tries to establish his relationship with him in terms of serving the super soul. Then he attends to my nature. That means he attains Krishna Prema, according to Baldev Vidya Bhushan. That's why we are putting this as Vardhi for Prema. Mad bhavayo papadyate. This is what it means. Actually, when somebody have this complete understanding about the field of activity and the knowledge and the existence of the soul and super soul, then it can qualify him to the degree where he can receive the prema of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada is summarizing in his purport. Prabhuji, now you read this.
Understanding this can change my nature? Can we read the purport?
No, just what we are showing this slide. Verses 6 through 7.
Describe the field of activity.
Okay, so then verses
8 to 12 describe the process of knowledge.
Then
describe the soul and the super soul.
Okay, so now you can ask me your question, Prabhuji. Yeah.
What is the object of knowledge?
What is the object of knowledge? Yes? Yes, Prabhuji?
Soul and
super soul. Which we have discussed from text number 13 to 18. That is what it is. Okay. And field of activity we have seen in text number 6 and 7. Mahabhuta nahamkara objectum. Very good, thank you. Then the process of knowledge we have seen quite, you know,
collaboratively.
Yes?
Arjuna said, you know, he wants to know what is knowledge and he wants to know what is the object of knowledge. Clarify
to you, please,
what is
the difference?
There's three
Krishna said,
to understand his body and his knower is called knowledge. So I got that point. That's
Kshetra, Kshetra Jnana,
right? The knower.
Yeah.
Which is the soul.
Yes.
So
there are two,
Parakshita
Jnana. Yeah. You want to say something?
No.
Okay.
Time for break.
We'll break with this question. Okay. So this Prakriti is
nature.
Okay. Then?
And Purusha.
Purusha is? There are two Purushas.
Super soul and soul.
And they are the object of knowledge and also knowable. They are termed in different ways. That's how the conclusion is been given in these three sections. This what you say is knowable is object of knowledge, this same called soul and super soul.
Oh, so knowledge and the object of knowledge is the same
thing? No, knowledge is different. Object of knowledge is described from 8 through 12.
Okay.
That's a big 20 list.
Okay.
We showed you.
Okay.
That's knowledge.
Okay. I'm just quoting.
No, that's good. Yeah, you should understand this. Very good, very good. You should understand. Yeah. In fact, when I was personally studying the fast less, I was confused. Oh, what are these three, you know, six things? But these are kind of, you know, when he's saying knowable or object of knowledge, actually he's referring to soul and super soul. Kshetrajna. Kshetrajna. They know about the kshetra. Sambandha, abhideya, prayojana. You know the, you know, this field of activity and the soul is there, you know, the super soul is there. So this sambandha you understand. Then also this process is being explained here, Michael. Process, right? From 8 to 12, how you can free yourself from this entanglement. Then when you try to free yourself, mat bhavayo papadyate, then you come to the prayojana platform achieving prema. Yes?
Can I ask something about the air?
About the
air? Yeah.
jnaya.
Jnaya,
okay.
Unless you know, in the Vedas, it is described different levels of Vedic education like pradaksha, aparoksha, pradaksha, paroksha, aparoksha, daksha, and aparoksha. Can you say something about it?
Here, when we are speaking about jnaya, it is referred to the object of knowledge. That means soul and super soul.
Okay, this is then the process of knowledge.
Process of knowledge is that? A super soul. You need to meditate upon what you have discussed, then slowly it will become very clear. Okay, thank you. Now we can take a short break. You can come back at 12:15 or 20.
Yes, 12:15.